for us today. We're in Ephesians. You know, I think John has a sense of humor. He picked a song about hungry. I'm thinking of that turkey and stuffing in the other room, singing hungry. So I got into flesh a little bit, but I'm back. Trying not to smell too much. My olfactory glands are working overtime. Wonderful time today, spending time being thankful for what God has done for us. Amen. The whole theme of today is in the power of God. And so we're in the scripture where it talks about the power and the authority of God. So I'm excited to bring this to you and to hear for what you have to say. But, you know, one thing that occurred to me is we don't minister out of our mind, will, and emotions. And when we do that, we get religion. Come on, somebody. We just go through the motions. I was raised in a church where we said the same prayers every Sunday. Went through the same thing every Sunday, closed with the benediction every Sunday, and nothing ever changed. Never heard about the blood of Christ, never heard about the salvation of the soul, never heard about those things, but we had a darn good church. We had Christmas, we had New Year's, we had Easter, we had Halloween, we had all the functions, we had a choir, but we were dead as a doornail because we were ministering out of our mind, will, and emotions. And God intends for us to minister in the Spirit. Amen. He intends for us to stand in the Spirit. We're in chapter 1, verse 19 today. Let me read for you 19 through 23, and then we'll talk a little bit. Ephesians 1, 19, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power toward us who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He worked in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at His right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality, power, might, and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. And He put all things under His feet and gave Him to be head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him who fills all in all. Last week we talked about two things that we're known for, should be known for, is faith in Christ and love for one another, that the eyes of our mind can be open to all the promises of God, and that we can know, use, and walk in our inheritance now. The privileges of sonship and the hope of our calling in Him. Now Paul ratchets it up a little bit. He begins to talk about the power of God that is ours. Now it would be not the smartest thing in the world to have an army with no weapons, or have an army with no order. But God left us here, gave us a new heart, made us new creations, and set us in the body of Christ to extend His kingdom, to multiply. Come on, someone. The film said it well. It's not His fault. He gave us everything that we need pertaining to life and godliness. What is the exceeding greatness of His power toward us? He's not relegating His power just to impress the angels. He's not functioning in His power just to impress heaven. It's the history of the Bible to tell good Bible stories. That's powerful stuff, turning water into wine and feeding thousands. Now, He left the power for us, and He said this. He said, greater works than I do, you will do. The power is not just thrown out there for someone. It's given to children, to us. Exceeding greatness of His power. That power is mighty works, mighty strength, and miraculous authority. It's where we get our word dynamite. How many know when somebody lights a stick of dynamite, you don't stick around? See, the dynamite is in the church. All we need to do is let God light the fuse. It's like the old Three Stooges thing, you know. You go to light it, go to light it, go to light it. Because when it's lit, something changes, you see. The atmosphere changes. Whatever was there is gone now. The enemy has had strongholds long enough in our community, in our area, in our families, in our lives. See, we like to dynamite. The power of God is for us. The power of God is not just to talk about, it's to use. It's an explosive presence of His power, and it's directed towards us. We find our identity and we function in that divine power by faith. And the only thing that He can compare it with, watch. He says, what is the exceeding greatness of His power towards us who believe according to the working of His mighty power? He can't compare it with anything but His own power. There's no greater power in the world than the power that resides in you right now. Right now, the power of God resides in you, and you can do all things through Christ who strengthened you. You're not weak in any way. You're strong. You're powerful. You're anointed. Come on, somebody. That ought to make somebody militant instead of putting us to sleep. So we talk about it. We've got the dynamite. We've got the light. But we don't want to put the two together, because when dynamite is lit, the power of God begins to move. It changes things. The exceeding greatness of His power where? Towards us. The perfect plan of God includes us. I've often said, without God we cannot, without us He will not. I would love to pop popcorn and have you over to my house and we could just watch from the porch as God sets everything in order from the sky. That would be great, wouldn't it? We could even take videos and show it again. Show me in the Word of God where God didn't move powerfully without man. He always used man. Always. Even if it was only one. Time for second guessing this is behind us. It's a clarion call to His church. According to His power. Not in our power. When we minister out of the soulish realm, we get soulish results. Oh, you hurt my feelings. I'm better than you. It's like the disciples coming to Jesus and saying, hey, we had this discussion. Who's going to sit by you in the kingdom? Who is greater? Is it Peter? Is it Paul? Who's it? Who is it? No, it's no one. It's not in our power, and it's not in our might or our authority. The mistake that the church has made is in thinking that we should be able to overcome, adapt, and exercise authority that we have. We ought to realize that without Christ, we have nothing. But that notwithstanding, watch what He says. He says the power is towards us. And then in verse 20, which He worked in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him in His right hand in the heavenly places. We say, what kind of power did You give us, God? He said, the same power that I gave Christ to come out of that grave. Wow. I don't know about you, but that's a power. Raise the dead, that's powerful. Come on, someone. Christ is the pattern son. He worked a work powerful ways while He walked the earth. When He raised from the dead, how many know? Signs and wonders should be a common occurrence in our lives because the power of God resides in us. Colossians 2:9, for in Him, Christ, dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Now, if it dwells in Him, the fullness of the Godhead dwells bodily in Him, it dwells in me. Paul said, I want to know Him in the power of His resurrection. No greater power on the earth than the power of His resurrection. When God wanted us to know what kind of power He's working in us, He said the power that He gave to Christ to resurrect. What is this power of resurrection? If you're taking notes, let me say five things. Number one, it's the power to have sins forgiven. Now, the world doesn't know anything about that. Sins that are not under the blood of Christ will not be forgiven and will be paid for sometime. Come on, somebody. But within us resides the power. God is able to forgive us of sins, and therefore we forgive others. Come on, someone. That's ministering out of the Spirit. Number two, the power to conquer sin. Come on, I was a slave to sin in the flesh. I was a slave to sin in my mind, will, and emotions. But my spirit man is able to conquer sin. How? Because of the power of the resurrection in me. Number three, the power to be His representatives. We're empowered in the Spirit, not in the flesh. In the Spirit, not in the mind. In the Spirit, not in the soul. In the Spirit, not in our emotions. It's not how we feel. It's what is in us. The spirit man has nothing to do with feelings. Number four, the power to be conformed to His likeness. The power of the resurrection is to be conformed into His likeness. We walk and talk and act like Jesus. We're representatives of His. Number five, the power to overcome old Slewfoot. We have the power to overcome Satan. Come on, someone. We've got this idea that we've got to put up with that. We don't need to put up with anything the enemy does. Submit to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee. This sideshow that we've put up with has gone on too long. It's a distraction. It distracts us. It keeps us away from what we are supposed to do. Come on, someone. We walk in that power, not something we try to attain to. It's something that we walk in. This is not something that we, boy, I hope I have the power of God today. The power of God resides in you if you're a Christian. It's not, will it come today or should I use it today? The power is there. You can use it by faith. Just some scriptures let me share with you. Romans 6:4. Therefore, we were buried with Him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, there it is, the power of the resurrection, even so, we should also walk in newness of life. There's no excuse. There's no excuse to put up with the enemy. There's no excuse to walk in the flesh. There's no excuse to say, I don't have the power, because you do have the power. Galatians 5:16. I say then, walk in the Spirit. How are you able to walk in the Spirit? Because God provided all the tools for you. And you should not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit, verse 25 says. Walking in the Spirit. That's making your mind up in the morning when you get up. Today I'm going to be a Christian that walks in the Spirit of God. Watch what happens. Oftentimes we start out in the flesh, then it's a little hard to get the Spirit going. Come on, somebody. Because we do have a choice. Come on, someone. Wake up with that attitude, might as well go right back to bed. Wake up in the Spirit of God. That's why it's so very important in the morning to turn your heart towards God. Pray, ask Him to give you the strength. For the first step out of bed. He's already given the power there. Now you agree with Him. Say, God, I agree with You that I have Your power. Now I'm going to walk in Your power. How many know God's going to answer that prayer? I don't know. I don't feel so good today. I'm just going to, well, it's going to be a bad day. I see it's raining outside. Saint, no answer that prayer. Colossians 2:6, as you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him. It's not a hint. It's not a suggestion. It's a fact. 2 John 1:6, this is love, that we walk according to His commandments. This is a commandment that just as you have heard from the beginning, you should walk in it. It's not something we're hoping for. It's something that happens. And then he set him at his right hand. The right hand was a significant thing. The power of his resurrection and sitting at his right hand, it signifies power. Priests were anointed with oil on the right earlobe, right finger, and right toe in Exodus 29:20 and Leviticus 8:23. You can read about that. The right hand of power. You say, how close is the power of God? It's as close as the words coming out of your mouth. When you speak, it's as God speaking. Come on, someone. Was talking to another pastor about some of the worship music that's passing as worship music today, and he said, you mean the girlfriend, boyfriend worship? Oh, God, I'm so glad that you like me. Could you touch me? Could I sit on your lap? Could we go for a walk and you could hold my hand? Come on, somebody. It's the power of God that's residing in us. God is our Father. God is our Lord. We exercise authority. Doesn't have anything to do with how we feel. We sit at the right hand of power because Jesus sits there. Watch what it says. Far above, everybody say far above, all principality and power and might to dominion and every name that is named not only in this age but also in that which is to come. Not just above, not just out of reach, far above all principality and power. All power and might and dominion. All principality. All appears 1,112 times in the New Testament. It's not to be taken lightly or skipped over frivolously. Come on, someone. All means all. God doesn't leave some just to keep us curious. We have all power far above. God seated us in heavenly places. I want you to know that there's nothing that can touch the heavenly places. And we're seated there with Him and He in us. It's not a goal for us. It's a fact. Stop making it a goal. Gee, I hope I can be seated with you in heavenly places. You are seated in heavenly places. See, Paul is preaching today. This is not your perfunctory pat on the back. Gee, I'm glad you can come to church. Paul says, He seated us in Christ, far above all principality, power, might, and dominion. It's not a goal. All, everything, every demon, every obstacle, every eventuality, He has got you covered. All principality and power and might and dominion is under your feet. Principality, meaning beginning or origin, the person or thing that commences, first in a series. The strong man in any situation is bound because of Jesus. Yes. Come on, somebody. Yep. You know, you get a vision of heaven, see the throne, and Father, Son, and Holy Spirit sitting on the throne. All these people worshiping and bowing to God and worshiping Him. And the power of God is resonant there. And if you look just to your left, you see a big sign that says, Excuse Corner. You can go over there and give God all the excuses for not walking in His power. It doesn't exist. There's no excuse. If we're not walking in His power, we're walking in the anointing of the devil. Come on, somebody. And it's not His fault. Come on. Oh, well, Rick, you don't. I do understand. The growth pattern that we all have, we forget sometimes. We have tough times. We walk in the flesh. We minister out of the soul. But it's not God's intent. God's intent is that we minister out of the Spirit. Over every principality, over every power. Power exousia is authority, the liberty of doing what one pleases. Physical and mental power. The ability to do what one pleases. We want to please the Father. God's given us the power to do so. Over every might. Might means strength, power, and ability. You say, well, I don't have the education or I don't have the wherewithal. Yes, you do. The Spirit of God is in you. You've already got your master's degree because you serve the master. Come on, somebody. Over every dominion, mastery, rulership, government, ruling in ours, in our government, He's made us ruling and reigning with Him in the kingdom of God. And we have all authority over Satan's government. Every situation, every happening, every occurrence, every attack, every persecution has already been dealt with in heaven, and therefore you have the power to overcome. Says in this age and the one to come. Notice it says and the one, not ones. And God has given us authority and power not only in this age, but in the one to come. I don't know what we'll face in the one to come, but we'll have His authority then too. Selah. The whole of God's plan is in us. And He is in us. Christ is in us. We are one in Christ, and He is one in us. Nothing can separate, change, weaken, or negate the mighty power that works in His children. Do you understand the impact of this scripture? Let me read it again. Far above all principality and power and might and dominion, in every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. Now, that's nice to talk about Jesus being there, but didn't we just previously, a couple of weeks ago, say that we're seated in heavenly places in Christ? So if He's there, I'm there. Verse 22, and He put all things under His feet and gave Him to be head over all things to the church. Love that word, all. Love that word, all. And He put all things under His feet. Well, Pastor Rick, you don't know what I'm facing today. It's under your feet. Pastor Rick, you don't know what kind of life I had. It's under your feet. Come on, someone. All of us have faced devastating times in our past. You can't live life without having some tough times. But you know what? God brought us through, didn't He? Yes. Turn to somebody and say, He brought me through. He put all things under His feet, gave Him to be headed over all things to the church. Financial, physical, mental, situational, relational, vocational, rational, irrational, all things are under His authority. Have I been the only one that's prayed things that I didn't think God covered? You know what I mean? You're in a certain situation, you say, God, did you think of this? Yeah, He thought of that. He thought of that. Even when people we love attack us. People that we pour into attack us and leave us. I've never been able to deal with that. Can I just share my heart with you? I got a tender heart, man. When I give my heart to somebody, you got my heart. And when somebody just walks away and never wants to talk to me again, I'm like, what happened? What happened? Because we disagreed once? Or because my hair's not long enough? I mean, what is it? And it hurts me to the core. Man. And you go, what did I do? And no matter how many times it happens, it just floors me. Because the enemy has had his way in divisiveness. Now, I'm not saying everybody needs to walk together. Even Paul and Barnabas had John Mark leave them. And they had a separation. So I understand and I get that. But God is watching over His Word to perform it in us. It's going to be okay. Yes. Worry, anxiety, and concern are not needed. I am the chief of the worriers. I've got that covered. I got the captain of the worry program. I wake up in the middle of the night, it's the worst thing in the world for me to start to think. I purposely, you know, because when you get older, you have to visit the bathroom some, you know. So I get up in the middle of the night and I purposely just keep my eyes open a slit because I know if I open my eyes any wider, I'm going to start to think and I'm done. Because I start to worry about this and I have anxiety about that. And the enemy knows that. But I need not worry. I need not be anxious. I need not be concerned. Too often we think it's spiritual to be concerned about the day and the hour, the condition of this or the direction of that. We should not be concerned. God's got it in control. People are idiots without God. Let's just relegate that to being something that... When I was without God, I was an idiot. Come on, turn to somebody and say, I used to be pretty dumb. We need to pray for the world. We criticize and we point fingers. We need to pray for them. They're walking around in darkness, tripping over stuff. Of course they're going to trip over stuff. Of course they don't see the truth. They're blind and deaf and dumb. Just like you and I was. All things are in His view and He's put all things in submission to Himself. There's nothing that surprises Him. Since we are in Him, nothing should surprise us. But it does. It does. We just think, right when we think we've seen everything, we see something like we've never seen before. He is head over all things to the church. He's not head without a body. Come on, somebody. This includes you. If my head is not in it, I cannot do it. But my head is in it. My head is Christ. And I make up His body. He is my head, and He's engaged in my life. Thing is, even as a Christian, you have freedom to go it on your own. Every step we take away from what we know to be His direction is a failure for us. We follow God, we succeed. We don't follow God, we'll fail. It's just that way. I wish it could be something else. We could go outside and say, God, I've got it now. Just let me go and I'll impress You. Let me go this way and I'll impress the heck out of You. And God says, okay, there you go. And 100% of the time we come crawling back and say, God, I can't do it without You. Amen. Not 99%. 100% of the time it's geared for failure because we're in a different kingdom now. We used to be, listen to me closely, we used to be able to function in our mind, will, and emotions and get things done. That was the only thing that was alive. Our spirit man was dead. But now that we're spiritual and God is living in us, the only success we have is ministering from the Spirit. Notwithstanding our thoughts or what we want to do, what we think we must have, our mind, will, and emotions get us into trouble. Am I the only one that's been angry and said stuff you never meant to say? But when we're in the Spirit, what do? We weigh our words. We pray. Come on, somebody. Not an accident. You walk in it. That's available to you at any time, no matter what happens. Incident happened a few months ago where I was sure that I think I said something about it before, I'll say it again. I was sure I was in the right. And I wanted to post it on Facebook just to prove it. So I sat down and I started writing this thing up, and I looked at it, and I proofread it, made sure it said the right thing, had it ready to enter. God said, "You can't do that." I said, "I most certainly can. I'm in the right." I'd like to say it was an easy thing. It was a long time. I did some warfare. Just in case you're wondering, it never got published. God took care of it and erased it in heaven. And then I found out why David was able to pray some of his prayers. David prayed some pretty bad prayers. He said, "You know my enemies? Let their tongue cling to the roof of their mouth. Let their eyes melt out of their head." Read it. You and I get secrets of what David talked about. So in God, I can say anything I want. Come on, somebody. Because I'm unloading myself. Now, he's going to deal with me when I say those things. But we can unburden our heart. That is where we function in the Spirit. So we're able to do the thing God has called us to do. We are his body. Just as real as your body is, you're the body of Christ. He chose to do nothing outside of his people. God's not going to do anything outside of his people. We represent him. God uses us to bring to completion his divine plan. That's good stuff. That's good preaching, Pastor Rick. Come on, somebody. Is it difficult to move in his power?
No.
No. Why?
They have the power within us, the Holy Spirit.
Does it work?
Yeah.
Okay. Someone else, is it difficult to move in his power?
Sometimes when you question your faith.
Exactly.
Yeah, but when you get down to brass tacks and you have to take authority, you got it.
That's right.
Anybody find it difficult to move in his power sometimes? Come on, somebody, be honest. I'll put up both hands and both feet. I've been doing this a long time, and sometimes it just, you're under so much attack, all you can do is cry, "Help."
Yeah, exactly.
Listen, don't feel bad about that, because God put you in the pavilion. His high tower, he's your shield and buckler. Sometimes you just need to heal up. So I don't want you to walk away being condemned and saying, "Gosh, I needed his power and I failed. Does that mean he..." No, there are times whenever we need to run into. That's very spiritual. It's not soulish to do that. Jesus said to his disciples, "Come aside and rest." There's a rest in God until you're built up in the Spirit. Come on, somebody. You're not doing yourself any good if you're weak and trying to do something out of God's strength and your faith is not there. So yes, it can be difficult. It's not difficult to move in his power. It can be if we don't feel, it. We're not there. What does it mean to move in his power anyway?
Do what he says.
Do what he says. Yes.
Get over yourself and let him do the driving.
Oh, I like that. Everybody hear that?
Yep.
For the recording, get over yourself and let him do the driving. Backseat driving Christians.
Jesus isn't the co-pilot, he's the pilot.
Amen.
Not according to those stickers.
I know it. Stickers wrong.
Stickers wrong.
Somebody explain resurrection power to me. Oh, it's fine.
You have to ask yourself who's in control.
Ask yourself who's in control.
And use the brain that God has given to you.
Yep.
The mind of Christ. Amen.
Wow.
Amen.
I also think that it's exhibiting Christ-likeness. Because I know I have many, many days where I'm not exhibiting that. And I feel defeated. I feel crushed and pressed down. But the Word of God says that I'm not.
Yeah.
I'm not crushed and I'm not pressed down. But I know that when I'm having good days and I'm exhibiting Christ-likeness, there's a power that comes in me from that.
Come on.
And I can only know within me that that's the power of Christ living in me when I can love the unlovable.
Yeah.
That's very hard to do.
Yeah.
That's a good answer. Good answer. You should be up here preaching. Yeah.
Or maybe I've fallen down that day or whatever, and I'm frustrated. And I know Joanne always tells me not to be frustrated, but I want to be strong. There are things that I want to do. But then if I get a call from one of my kids or my brother that needs prayer, as the Spirit of the Lord rises up in me, and I'm speaking forth God's word for him, and I'm praying and interceding and doing work here and praising him, I can get off that phone and feel stronger than when I was before.
Yeah.
Yes.
Which is, you know, God moving in me regardless of what my physical body is doing. The Word, and then my physical body comes along with the Spirit man, and I feel stronger than before.
Amen. Amen. Yes.
If you don't take that first step to do it, you don't know how far you can go until you take the step.
Amen.
Yeah.
Woo-hoo.
Yeah.
It's good preaching. Got to take the first step, right?
Yeah.
First step's a doozy sometimes, I'll tell you.
Yes.
For sure.
Amen. What about authority? Somebody explain authority to me. What's authority mean? And everybody answer, what's authority mean?
Power to get things done.
Power to get things done.
I always felt that when it was proclaimed that Jesus give us the authority. Basically, he gave us the power of attorney to use his name in this world, and all the power goes with that.
Yeah, that's right.
Did you hear that?
Yeah.
Yes.
Good word.
Yeah. Good word. Gives us the power of attorney, so what?
So that we can do everything that he can do, and his power is all delegated to us.
Yeah.
Amen.
Woo! Can you imagine if we all moved in that statement?
That's right, yes.
Amen.
Woo! We wouldn't recognize the world.
Yeah.
My friend, that's what God is looking for us to exercise what we have. We have it. Got to use it.
That I know, if you just speak the word, and it's like we have that, we can speak the word no matter.
Ooh, goodness gracious alive. How do we do it? We exercise it.
Yeah.
You know, the more we use it, the better we get. I tried to tell my wife that about a hammer, and it's not working. I grab a hammer, and my wife goes into, no, honey, let me have that hammer. The resurrection power of Christ. Resonant within us. You answered the question, what do we lack as 21st century believers?
Discipline.
Faith. Obedient.
You listening?
Yeah.
We know what the problem is. Why don't we do something about it? You say, well, it's just me. Yeah, it is you. Yeah. Just do it in your area of influence. And encourage others to do it.
Yes.
That's right.
What would happen if all of the Christians in the region would begin to exercise the authority of God? I'll tell you what would happen. The devil would beat feet.
Yes.
Yes.
The devil would beat feet. He'd leave. He'd flee.
Yes.
But man, he sprouts up everywhere where somebody's not exercising the authority, because nature abhors a vacuum. Somebody's going to be in authority.
Yes, that's right.
Amen.
That's right.
Somebody. This is a question you can answer later, but what are you facing right now that you need to exercise authority in? Exercise it. Exercise it. Do it. Speak it. And watch things change. Don't wait. till the right time. It's not the right time. Yes, it is. Now's the right time. Now's the right time. Believe right now with me that things are going to change in your life. That you're not going to put up with this anymore. You have all authority in that area. Father, right now we pray. We thank you, God, for your word that's precious and righteous and holy that you've given to us. God, we pray right now. We exercise authority in our lives. Everything that we have to do financially, spiritually, physically, mentally, in our families, in our workplace, in our community, in this region. God, we want to see you move in a powerful way through us. We volunteer today to be your representatives again, God, afresh and anew, to exercise what my brother said, the power of attorney, speaking the things as not as though they were, watching it change before our very eyes, God. So, Lord, these things that are in our hearts, I pray for each one that's praying with me today. Lord, whatever problems there are, that we've overcome them by the power of your resurrection. That authority that resides in us, promised in your word, they would exercise today. Continue to function in us, God. Awaken our spirit, man. Lord, awaken our heart. Lord, that we begin to move in the spirit, setting aside the things of the flesh and the thoughts that so easily beset us, the sins that grab us. God, we set those aside and we fully function in your spirit, man. We thank you for it. Now bless all the fellowship, bless the food to our bodies, that, Lord, we might have sweet fellowship with one another. We bless you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanksgiving dinner awaits. I'm so thankful for you. God bless you.